What does it take to be a leader in today's intelligence community? A lot of heart and serious call to public service, help. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni spoke with 2017 Intelligence and National Security Alliance Achievement Award winner, Jana Scott Tarman. Scott Tarman is the Deputy Division Chief for Counterintelligence Analysis at the Defense Intelligence Agency.
Counterintelligence analysis, I mean, the discipline is about identifying foreign intelligence threats to the United States, either through espionage or sabotage. So we've had some successes. We'll keep most of those close hold. But even just for me being a mentor and seeing new analysts come into the agency and make their first discoveries, that first aha moment, and then they're hooked. And then they stay in the business. We just in the last year, and it's covered in the bio, but this in the last year, we have had great success supporting presidential travel overseas and protecting our supply chain from subversion. Both of those successes are coming from analysts brand new to the agency. I mean, just arriving with these fantastic backgrounds in data analytics or engineering or in business who just want to do the right thing for the United States, and they are making discoveries that are keeping all of us safer every day.
And, you know, a mentorship was kind of a big thing that people talked about this whole time. You seem to be a good mentor. What do you try to instill in the people that you talk to, and how do you reach out to them?
Yeah, well, first, mentorship is a bilateral relationship. So I share my vision with them, they share their vision with me, and I learn more every time than I think that I ever impart to them. But the idea for me is you find out what drives a person, what they're passionate about. And then in the counterintelligence world, then we turn that against the foreign intelligence adversary. So I even have folks that come in and they want to be novelists, right? Like they want to do this for a few years and then take what they learn and go write the next great American novel. And I say, that's fantastic. Because you know what? Those espionage actors out there are compelling stories. And if you can write those compelling stories in a way that senior leadership picks it up and can't put that paper down, then you're defeating the foreign intelligence adversary. So you find out what they're passionate about, and then you help them turn that against the enemy.
You talked about how this wasn't your life plan exactly. And 9/11 was kind of that moment for you. What about DIA's mission brought you into that fold compared to all the other possibilities that you could have gone into?
Yeah, I call it the 9/11 generation. So those of us with a plan, and then 9/11 happened and we reversed course. For me, I had done an internship with the Defense Intelligence Agency in the Pentagon and just finished it 2 weeks before 9/11. And as I was finishing the internship, they asked me to stay on. And I said no, because it wasn't my life plan. I said, what you guys do is amazing and awesome, but it's not my plan. And then 9/11 happened, and I realized, no, my purpose here is national security. So I called the agency up actually in the evening of 9/11 and said, no, I want to come back. I want to protect our military. I want to protect our colleagues. I want to protect the Pentagon. So as I said earlier, so no more of our colleagues turn into bodies.
And let's listen to part of your speech where you had that aha moment.
And then one morning, I was riding the subway, and I got off at the Foggy Bottom station on my way to law school. And over the intercom, the manager of the station said, the Pentagon Metro station is closed because a plane has flown into the building. And I stopped in my place. I mean, quite literally, like what you see in the movies, I just halted there. And I had an option. I can go left, and I can go to law school, right? Because I'm in my third year of law school, about to graduate. Or I can go right, and I can head to the George Washington Hospital because I now have an EMT certificate. And I went right. I don't even remember making the conscious decision. I just went right. And when I got to the hospital, I mean, they are in crisis mode. They are literally throwing blankets on tables in the cafeteria to bring in more victims, more patients from the Pentagon. There's no time to change. I'm wearing what I intended to wear to school that day. There's no time to even put scrubs on. And one of the doctors that worked in the emergency room, he said, Jana, come here, because he knew me from my class. And he took out a roll of masking tape. So not even duct tape, it's the lesser of the tapes. And he takes a strip of masking tape and he puts it across my chest and he writes EMT. And then he has me turn around and he puts two strips in a cross-like manner across my back and he writes EMT down each cross. And that's it. I'm in an ambulance on the way to have the worst day of my life. And I had just finished that internship at the Pentagon. So 2 weeks between my internship in the Pentagon and returning as an EMT, and my colleagues are now bodies. I knew then that I had to help. And not just for one day, but for every day. And so I did. I joined DIA the next year. And in fact, I was working for DIA in the Pentagon the day I got the email that said I had passed the bar. And it's so ironic, right? Because that was the moment. That was supposed to be the defining moment in my life, right? That was supposed to be what I wanted to do. That was supposed to be the title that I wanted to wear. And it passed without notice. Because that title, and every title that I've held since, every title that's been pinned to me since, means less to me than a strip of masking tape. I am so honored to be here. It wasn't part of my life plan, but I am so honored to work with all of you, to every one of you. I'm so glad that you have shown the same commitment to national security that I hope that I always will. I am so glad that my goal remains today and will forever remain to never again see a colleague as a body.
Day, what was it like being at that hospital on 9/11 and actually serving hands-on to those people that were hurt?
It was an amazing experience, and I honestly learned that day what the term patriotism meant. I've used that term. I used that term 100 times before, but didn't know what it meant. And the best example I can give is there was a person there, a young man, probably in his mid-20s, who had been in a car accident unrelated to 9/11, but he was in the hospital when we were turning it into a triage zone. And he actually had a bone outside of his leg. I mean, it was a very significant injury. When I went to help him, because we were moving sort of patients that could be moved out of the way so that we could bring new folks in from the Pentagon, he said to me, with a bone out of his leg, "Don't worry about me, go take care of the guys at the Pentagon." That's patriotism. That was the moment that stuck with me as much as anything else I saw all day. That selfless service, that selfless thought, that's patriotism, and it inspired me, still inspires me to this day.
Now, what, 16 years later, what successes do you feel you've achieved, and what challenges do you see ahead?
For us in the counterintelligence world, it is definitely the insider threat, and something that we all are concerned about every day. We have to protect ourselves from those who wish to do us harm, both inside and outside the nation. And that'll be a huge challenge for all of us going forward.
That's Jana Scott-Tarman, winner of the Intelligence and National Security Alliance Achievement Award for 2017.